What's going on? This is Julian Alvarez, and I'm here with Claudio Fuentes for round three.
What's up? What's up, Julian?
Hello, hello. All right. This is a fun one. Existential crisis of AI. Are we fucked? Are we okay? Is AI going to kill us? Are they going to be our best friends? Tough one. By the way, disclaimer, we're going to talk a lot about dystopian version of things. I'm generally very optimistic. I think Claudio is as well. But important to bring this context of like, what are we getting ourselves into with this crazy AI shit with machines, technology? Should at least have a little bit of awareness because there are risks, we think. And if we're well aware of them, we can better manage them and make sure we're building, not just building, but building responsibly and safely so that humanity doesn't get fucked.
Heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff.
So just starting here with a little context, we are living in a world where the only constant is change. And the rate of change itself is accelerating. Basically, things are moving really fucking quick. So Claudio, how do you help me paint a picture of the current situation? Like, what is happening today? Like, what are things going to look like in the next few months or years? We'll start like in the short term. What are things going to happen in the short term? But and then we'll zoom out like long term. Like, what is like 20 or 50? Like, what might happen? What risks might exist? But firstly, curious what you think. What is causing things to like move so fast?
I wake up this morning, right? And I want to do something like draft an email. What do? ChatGPT.com. I say, hey, drop me an email that is addressed to this person that nails these 3 points. I hit submit. It gives me an answer. I then go and say, maybe I want to include a picture in this. What do? I go to Leap. I generate an image and it gives me a graphic of whatever the hell I want. I attach it to my email.
And a pretty badass picture.
Yeah. I send it. I leave the office. What do? I open my phone. I call Cruise. A self-driving car comes, picks me up, and I get dropped at home without a human ever touching that. And that'll happen, you know, in the span of a day. That's today. 6 months ago. No ChatGPT. Just the very beginning of, you know, diffusers and image generation technology. Cruise was still heavily regulated, so a lot of stuff was not very easily accessible, and they had a, you know, very long wait list. You know, so the, all those things that I just described were not really part of our daily lives, like not that long ago. You know, zoom back out 5 years, zoom back out 10 years, 50 years. Like the things that we're starting to see today and the rate of that they become intrinsic parts of our lives is something that we've never seen, right? Ever in history. And that's only the beginning. I think you and I are plugged into, you know, the industry, and every single week there's breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, new papers, new methods that just make these things much more powerful, continues to accelerate. So it's exciting in many ways, but with change comes disruption. Right? Both to the way we do things, the way we live our lives, the way we make money, the way we live as a society, what our beliefs are. Everything's being challenged and technology is advancing so fast. And now we're using this new technology to build newer technology at an even more rapid pace because we're that much more productive that I, you know, starting to feel like, are we really on the, you know, in control of this, or it's just starting to move a little bit faster than and we can keep up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I mean, like, to add on to that, faster computers are helping to build faster computers. The better AI becomes, the faster computation becomes, the cheaper computation becomes, the more accessible technology becomes, the more people that can use it, and the better it, faster it moves, the more time we save, the more productive we can be. And the more we work and the faster our computers are, the faster we'll be able to build faster computers. Pretty crazy. And what's insane about exponential growth is that the graph kind of goes like, you know, upward, right? Right. But in the beginning, if you zoom in, it looks linear, right? Like if you're like just very zoomed into any particular moment in time, things kind of feel like a little linear. It's not till like you zoom out that the deceptive growth turns into disruptive growth. And the change from one point to another is like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah, like look, even just a year ago, I think you look at all the creatives right in the world. It used to be everyone's belief that like, oh, you know, I'm a creative, I'm the creative arts. Like I'm not at risk of being automated. That's for the people that crunch numbers. Like, that's what computers are good for. Fast forward to today, you know, you have things like Stable Diffusion, DALL-E, you know, even like ChatGPT for creative writing. And now everyone that used to think that their livelihood was safe is now saying like, holy crap. Like, they just automated my work with a single keystroke that now costs cents to submit. And whereas I used to sell perhaps these like graphic designs and these, you know, this art, and you know, even like writing, like a copywriter, like where does, like now all of that can be automated by just clicking a button.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has impact. And that's exactly what you mentioned, sort of like the linear effect of like people feeling like things are safe and things are predictable. And then out of nowhere comes a breakthrough.
Yeah. And I think right now, like, things are still at the point where like the AI is more so augmenting people's capabilities. In some cases, it is replacing. Like, if you're an artist, you're not completely out of a job yet. There's definitely a little bit less need for you, but like, you still have to fill in the gaps in some cases.
I'm going to challenge that a little bit, because I think if you go on, for example, look, you're a startup founder. So if you have ever had design needs, like, what do? You typically go on, either you have someone on staff, but like, you could also go to Fiverr or one of these Upwork and hire someone to create a graphic for you. And how much would you pay them back then? Perhaps maybe something like $20, right? It's like, oh, come up with something simple, 20, 40 bucks, whatever. Now, what do? You literally go to a new tab in your browser. You type in a website, you type in what you want to get, press generate, it generates it in 15 seconds. You paid what? 10 cents, 5 cents? Yeah. So I would say like the economic disruption is already here. And people that used to make their livelihood from providing these kind of services are already feeling the pain. We just haven't acknowledged it, but it's all happening underneath, kind of quietly, humming away. ChatGPT, same exact thing. What do you used to do before when you needed an article written for your startup, right? If you're doing a content strategy, what did you do? You hire a writer. Go and write an article about X so I can do, you know, growth engine, post some news about whatever. What do you do now? Go ChatGPT, type what you want, generates it, copy paste into WordPress or whatever, and now you have content.
Yeah.
What do you think that person's feeling? Like, they're already feeling their income decrease, right?
Yep.
So the ramifications of these people now, like, looking at the world and saying, like, how the hell do I make a livelihood now? Like, I used to do this for years and years and years, and now gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's not 100%, but I think it's like 80% there, because you basically, it's just a question, like, I generate an image. Is this good enough for what I need? I think 80, 90% of the time, probably yes. But 10, 20% of the time, you're probably like, no, I want this specific change, whatever. And like, the prompt engineering isn't enough to get that. But I think the disruptive thing is like, cool, it's good enough. For 80% of cases, 90% of cases, I don't need like this specific like edit or detail, or whatever. It's good enough. And just 80%, like, that's a baseline or a guess, but that's pretty disruptive.
Yeah, look, 80% economic disruption on any sector is massive.
Yeah.
Is massive. And the challenge is, we're starting to see this across every single sector.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just one.
Just started with creatives.
It's everywhere. And now that you have, you know, again, ChatGPT just released our API, and you're starting to see use cases everywhere. Customer support,
floodgates.
Legal, medical. So what's going to happen in all these industries? You're going to have similar effects where, like, we just all of a sudden don't need that much labor to do things. And sure, some of that will be, you know, replaced with, people will be moved to higher leverage jobs, but not all. Like, those jobs sometimes don't even exist yet. So it will take time for the system to readjust and for people to adapt and learn and grow and basically just learn how to live in this new world. But all these changes are happening so fast that you know, I think the shocks to the system, we haven't acknowledged them yet, but are coming, are intense, are big, are profound.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about like the potential disruption of jobs that might come. Like, we're already seeing a little bit of like creatives, like designers, even writers, like be displaced to an extent. What do you think is coming? Like, what jobs do you think like are high at risk? Like, for example, I'll throw up a couple and see what you think. There's, for example, like drivers, as autonomous cars come, like, seems pretty likely most, if not all, will be replaced. there's Upwork jobs around like translators, transcribers, SEO people, mm-hmm. virtual assistants, video editors, social media marketing. Many of these would likely easily within a couple months, if not 1 to 2 years, might be disrupted. Coding jobs, maybe we're even fucked as software engineers. Creatives, lawyers, medical professions. I don't know, like what, are there any you would add onto that? One, and two, do you think there's any like future proof jobs? Like who's safe, who's not safe? How long is it gonna take?
Yeah, I think a lot of what you mentioned are, well, in a way, not all of them are knowledge workers. Like even the drivers, right? Like that's been also like advancements, not just in sort of like the brain of things, right? The self-driving car, the self-driving computer, but also in robotics and the ability for the hardware to also keep up. So, you know, that's specific to cars, but, you know, you see like, you know, Elon Musk and Tesla working on their, you know, humanoid robot version that you can basically do like physical labor with. So even construction jobs aren't safe, right? Like anything that you can basically plug in a human, like, you know, computer at some point will be able to do equally as good, if not better, at a fraction of the cost. So I think ultimately, if you play this out long enough, like no one's safe. I think if we can have a much faster, always on, always focused, perfect productivity sort of machines at scale, you know, kind of our job here is done. But
what does that imply for us, though? If our job here is done, what is our job? Do we need a job?
I'm an optimist. I'm with you there. I think there's a lot of prosperity that will come as a result of, hey, just infinite productivity in the world and the cost of goods and services just dropping to near zero. My biggest concern is the transition.
Yeah.
I believe in the vision. I believe in the future, and I believe it will have good results. There's a risk that it may not, but my belief is an optimist one.
Yeah.
The challenge for me is the transition. Is how do you get from today to that, and more so with the rate of change. So if within the next, like, let's actually plant a flag here. Like, if within the next 6 months, like, you have a lot more economic disruption and people just, how long does it take you to reskill and readapt and for industries to kind of like move and reorganize to create new jobs and adapt to the changing world? It takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
So within this period where like people are just completely kind of just taken by surprise, like, what are some of the societal impacts that we'll be subjected to? I think that's risky. I think the risk is less about the AI and it's more about the people adapting and coping with change. And if you see, you know, even if you look at like the history of the fossil fuel transition to renewable energy, which has been a very slow one, like you still have protests and angry people, the coal miners that sort of like still feel the pain of that change. And that happened over decades. So my concern is, you know, when this happens in 6 months, and not just in one industry, but across the entire spectrum of our economy, what are the ramifications of that change?
Yeah. There's like a big transition point from like, you know, a lot of people having like stable jobs, stable careers, and then one point to the other, it's like you're automated in a way, or your work isn't as needed. So what do you think would happen like in that case? Like, hey, I don't know, I was a driver, probably millions of them, and now like I'm not needed. What do I do? Like, how should people start to think about that? Prepare? Can we even prepare for it?
Yeah, I mean, look, one of the things is like, how should people think about it? The other thing is how will people think about it?
Yeah.
Right? And I think the usual reaction from what you've seen is usually like anger.
Yeah.
Like you don't understand what's going on. You just know that something has been taken away from you.
Yep.
So I worry a lot about like just the impact to people and people resorting to violence and in many ways chaos, and just again the velocity of that these things will happen. So, you know, civil unrest I think feels like a likely outcome at this point.
Protests, riots.
Here's a challenge also. Like I think you I guess there's a couple of things to unpack here. I think number one is like, what are the solutions to this, right? On one hand, it's, you hear about UBI a lot. It's like, is UBI
universal basic income?
Universal basic income, which basically means the government just giving people a stipend a month without the need to earn it, right? You don't have to be necessarily like under a certain, you know, income class, sort of like current welfare programs, but it's more about just everyone gets a basic kind of like living expense. That way, you know, even if jobs don't exist, like you can still pay your bills. You can still kind of like live your life normally. That's great. That's nice. But I would ask the question of like, how fast can the government implement something like that at scale?
Mm, yeah.
How fast can our policymakers agree that that's a solution they should implement at scale and improve those budgets.
Yeah. And is it even sustainable? Can we even afford to like pay everyone a certain amount of money? Like, where's that money coming from?
Yeah.
Et cetera.
So again, going back to the original kind of like point here is maybe that's a solution in n number of years. But what happens in the short term? What happens again when everything hits all at once, which is starting to happen a lot faster? So that's one part that I have my sort of hesitations around, like leaning too hard into like that's the solution. That's
It seems like the obvious solution.
Obvious solution.
Yeah.
At least worth trying, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one part of it. The civil unrest, how will people react, I think is definitely gonna be, you know, grab your pitchfork and hit the streets. And it's sort of like who is it to blame? Right? Yeah. Who took this away from me? Yeah. Right. And I think that's gonna be a the most likely reaction from the people who have been displaced.
Yeah. 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 It's kind of an interesting thing because usually politically, like it may be like clear, like who's to blame. But in this case, it's like the AIs are taking the job. So then it's like, I don't know, who do you blame? The AI? Well, can't blame the AI. Like, what are you going to do to it? Or who do you blame instead? Like the creators of the AI? It's like, okay, there's probably like many of them. It's not just one player. Like, what are you even going to do with them? Like,
yeah.
What can they even do?
So I worry a lot about the state of anarchy. And again, the transition period, the civil unrest. So, you know, I think you often hear about billionaires and celebrities sort of like starting to plan for, you know, the apocalypse in many ways. Yeah, you know, there's a recent, you know, article that came out with Sam Altman. You know, for those of you who don't know Sam, he's the founder and CEO of OpenAI, who are the creators of, you know, ChatGPT, GPT, Whisper, DALL-E, that sort of thing. And he claimed, well, he basically said on record that he has a sort of getaway place in Big Sur, a little like bunker with gold and guns and ammunition. Should AI go rogue, he hops in a helicopter and he just flies out to Big Sur.
Yeah, this is what he said, like, I try not to think about it too much, but I have guns, gold, potassium iodine, antibiotic, batteries, water, gas masks from the Israeli Defense Force, and a big patch of land in Big Sur I can fly to.
Look, Sam's a smart guy. If the smartest people in the industry are, and the ones that are leading the charge, right, on the AI, who are also optimists like us, are hedging this way, like, what does that tell us about the seriousness of the situation? And Sam's not alone. Like, I think you've heard similar things from just a lot of billionaires, a lot of people.
So. Yeah, Elon has been, like, warning us for, like, years. Like, yo, AI is crazy. It's dangerous. Like, watch out. That, in fact, that's, like, why he was a co-founder for OpenAI and really wanted it to be a nonprofit for good. I don't know the whole situation, but now it's a for-profit and Elon's no longer involved. But Elon's been warning us for years, too.
Yeah. So look, my concern is, like, I think like most of the time when you hear these claims, you sort of start thinking like, oh, yeah, 10-year time frame. Like, it'll happen at some point down the road. I think we're already starting to, like, feel like the hockey stick moment, yep. Right? Where things begin to trend up and really, really accelerate. And again, the last 6 months have been an absolute testament to the velocity at which things can change. So the question for me becomes like, how fast until that trickles down into people really, really feeling the pain and that being a trigger for, you know, chaos.
And what can we do? I honestly don't even know myself. Like, what can you do now? I think it's a question of like, what should I learn? What are like future-proof skills, right? So maybe like collaboration, empathy, problem solving, whatever, like things like that. But even like, it's so hard to even predict like what AI or other tech may be good at or not, like a couple months down the line, a couple years, like it may even be that like doesn't matter like what skills you even learn, you're unemployable regardless. So in that case, like, okay, worst case scenario, it doesn't matter what I learn. I'm unemployable. What the hell do I do then? Well, I don't know. One, start saving money. Like be much more careful about like your spending. And I don't know, what else do you do other than that? Any other ideas?
Look, it's unprecedented. I just honestly, like, I don't even think job security is the thing that I would worry about. I think I would just worry about my physical safety.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, what do you do? Should, you know, things go to hell? Like, what's your escape strategy? Where do you go? Where do you hunker down? Right? So these are things that, like, for the first time I'm starting to think about. I think for a long time I sort of felt like, again, they were distant. And look, I'm in technology. Like, I understand, like, I play with the tools and the latest technology all day. But only until very recently, I think it started like just really hitting home, right? It's starting to feel like, all right, this is really, 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 really close and imminent and holy crap, actually dangerous because of the rate of change. So look, I think you also see a lot of commentary today around like, hey, we're going to approach this slowly and carefully and focus on safety. I think ultimately it's an arms race, right? So even though companies might have good intentions around, we want to deploy these systems safely, that doesn't, your competitor is not doing that, right? So whether it's us, whether it's China, whether it's, you know, indie hackers just continuing to iterate and come up with novel research approaches and build, like everything's just going to continue to go fast, regardless, I think, of what individual big players decide to put in place as security measures.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now this starts to bleed in a little bit into not just like the risk in the next couple months, next few years, but also like longer term, 5, 10, 20 years, what might it look like? And I think it's like, yes, AI is becoming very powerful and it leads to many beautiful, wonderful things. Like we're going to have like more abundance in some ways than ever, like cost of food, cost of energy going down, like an infinite productivity, et cetera. But at the same time, AI is becoming way, way smarter. So there's like questions as well around like, well, what if AI becomes 10, 100, 1,000, a million times smarter than humans? Is that a risk? Like intelligence in some ways indicates capabilities.
Yeah.
And so if you give the machines the capabilities to like move, to see, to take actions, then what is possible? And like, what if, will they be in our own interest? Can we control them? If something is 100 times smarter than us, can we control it? Right? Can chimpanzees or gorillas or whatever control us? We're like way smarter. Like think about the difference from us and like the next smartest like living thing. We're probably 100 times, if not more, smarter than them. What if AI is to us what we are to ants? What risks might that pose?
Look, profound questions. I also want to be clear, like I think we're not there yet, right? Where the AI is super intelligent and kind of can run humans. But my concern is also that we don't need to be there to feel the impact, to feel threatened, to have all our systems and everything that we know disrupted. Because one of the usual story is, you know, AI will become super intelligent. It'll have the wrong intentions. It'll be misaligned, which means it doesn't have the human's best interests at heart, or it misunderstands a command that leads it to doing things that are against us, even though we intended it to do good. And that also plays into like, you know, whenever AI becomes smarter than humans collectively, actually, you know, like measurably smarter. But even with these atomic things that we already see today, right? Like just automating creative work, automating copywriting, like that's already enough to throw a wrench in the system. So to my original argument, I think the economic disruption at scale can happen with the current set of capabilities. Mm. That's a concern. And that to me is imminent. It's not a technology bet. It's a current risk. But we're going to absolutely explore like what happens after.
Yeah.
Right. Like what happens after the AI does get smarter, which is going to continue improving. Like we're only at version 1. Whatever. Like we're going to keep iterating on this thing until it actually gets to a point where, you know, assuming we survive the economic, you know, like disruption at scale throughout every single industry, let's say we made it past that point. The question then becomes, okay, the AI continued to improve and iterate and got smarter. And now it's actually, you know, got superhuman capabilities. Like what then? What's life?
Yeah. Pretty wild. I mean, I think I don't really like. No, by the way, there's a great book on this called Scary Smart. Highly recommend. Like, where the guy, the author, plants like a lot of these scenarios and the thinking and the dystopian view, but also like kind of like solutions that might come up. But we're only staying with the dystopian version here for fun. But yeah, it's kind of crazy what can happen if something's like way, way smarter than us and has capability. But I agree, the imminent risk is the biggest one and the most concerning right now that we should think about. But yeah, if we don't strike out there and we manage to get through there, then yeah, now like these other pressing questions become a thing. And one thing that's very, like I've been trying to think about, for example, is, okay, if AI becomes like a million times smarter, then holy shit, should we like implant like brain computer interfaces into our mind, or like non-invasive brain computer interfaces so we can augment our intelligence in some form? Well, sure, if we do that, we might become cyborgs and have technology and brain biological matter synergized to increase our intelligence. But if we become machines, part machines, then we run the risk of being hacked, right? Like if you are tech can be hacked. So now your mind is kind of like vulnerable to like, what if an AI figures out how to hack into your brain and all this shit? Anyways, a lot of crazy things that can happen.
Things get very weird very quickly. Like I think none of us can predict like what honestly 10 years out the road looks like. Like, I think it's going to get very weird very quickly. And you start introducing basically noise into the signal and it can go in any direction. And I think we're going to be able to see like things that we never thought would even be conceivable. Like we already do. Like we just now take it for granted. We normalize things so fast as humans. But nonetheless, I think to your point, I think focusing on the immediate sort of challenge in front of us is might be the only thing we can do.
Yeah.
And what happens beyond, you know, year two, year five, year seven, year 10, like it's kind of anyone's guess.
It's a black box.
Black box. Are we going to be uploaded to servers? Does that even matter? You know, are we just living in a simulation after all? Like,
100%. Maybe the AI will help us figure out how to crack the simulation.
Exactly. And even that will lead to weird stuff. Because once you crack the simulation, it's like, then what?
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah.
You exit. I think I'll end by saying this, which is not an optimistic thing, but something to watch out for or something that I think is very important to think about. And Mo makes this point in Scary Smart, which I love, which is basically that intelligence is not inherently like a good or a bad thing. Power is not inherently good or bad. It's the guiding values, the principles that dictate your actions, right? Think about it in this analogy. Why was Superman a hero instead of a villain? He became a hero because he was inscribed values of like doing good to humanity and being in the best interests of people. But if the way he was brought up, if Superman's parents like might have like inscribed values in him that were like destructive to humanity, he would have had the same power, but he would have been a villain instead of a hero. So as we develop AI, I think it's very important to think about like what values are we feeding this AI? And most of the values are not hard-coded. They're not like, hey, this is your value. Sure, we can do that. But it's also the data that we feed the AI. If the AI reads a lot of data and sees like, hey, I should be racist or whatever, then it's probably going to do that. So we have to be very thoughtful. Not only how do we program it, what values do we inscribe, but also what data are we feeding it that might determine what values it implicitly picks up.
Yeah. On the other hand, I think also like we've already set in motion what we've set in motion.
Yeah.
And part of me feels like, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And there's very little we can do today to kind of either stop it or change it. It just feels like we've kind of like we've put it in motion. It's just now, you know, set in its course.
Yep.
And, you know, quite frankly, all we can do is tag along for the ride, see what happens. I'll make the best of it. I would say like what keeps me sane is just living in the moment and just trying to appreciate life for what it is today and be grateful for everything that we get and, you know, continue to do that for as long as we possibly can and adapt and have a plan. I guess have a plan for at least the immediate impending disruption.
No doubt. I mean, on one hand, we are figuring out how to reverse age, live longer, maybe live forever. On the other hand, we might die in 5, 10, 20 years because of some crazy AI shit. So like, who knows what's true? Maybe you'll live forever. Maybe you'll live
a few
more years.
Very weird, very quickly.
Very freaking weird.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the only thing that's true and guaranteed is this present moment, as you were saying, right? Being present. So be grateful for that. I'd like to think I will be able to live forever, but at the same time, there's no guarantee. So it's not good to create the impression like I'm going to live a super long time and therefore like that removes scarcity and preciousness from the moment. No, the only thing that's guaranteed is right now. So I don't know. Enjoy it. Live up.
One last kind of closing remark is the other thing I've been putting more thought into lately is, you know, the Fermi paradox. For those of you that are not familiar with the Fermi paradox, it's the notion of like, you know, are we alone in the universe? And mm-hmm. And, you know, what if we are not, then why haven't we heard from, you know, other advanced civilizations, advanced species out there? And that there's this notion of what's called, you know, the great filter,
yes.
which basically means if we haven't heard from other civilizations, does that just mean that maybe they all perish after a certain point? And, you know, what are the odds that we just happen to be living at the same time that they are and coincide and interact? And perhaps there is this sort of like inevitable moment in history where civilizations just perish.
Yep.
Right. And it makes me think a lot about like, are we approaching a point where we create something so big, so powerful, so dangerous that ultimately either we transcend into a different plane and life changes as we know it, or we just ended up, you know, causing self-extinction.
Yeah.
I love that you brought this up, because it's basically the question is, where is the great filter? Is the great filter at the very beginning of life, when the single-celled organism became a multi-celled organism? And that was like the crazy, rare, great filter event that led to the life we have now. Or is the great filter ahead of us? It's basically like a couple years down the road in this scenario where we become super intelligent and we build these crazy, dangerous AI that ends up like bringing humanity to an extinction. The thing is, since we haven't discovered other life, we don't know where the great filter is. If we found another like life form that is like super advanced, then we'd know like, great, the great filter is maybe before us and not ahead of us. But we don't have another reference of life, so we don't know where the hell the great filter is.
Yeah, interesting times, but I'm just in awe, man. Like just like watching things unfold every single day, staying plugged in and. It's an exciting time to be alive nonetheless, yeah. but it does have its challenges and its risks. And I think the more that we continue to think about these things, like as we improve our odds of maybe having some way of influencing that, but who knows?
Who knows? Oof. All right. Enjoy the moment. Get your popcorn out, buckle up, because who knows where the hell this rocket ship is going to land. And if it even lands or it just blows up, I don't even know, but whatever, buckle up. It's going to be fun, and crazy. Hopefully, we'll see. Cool. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your perspective and wisdom and thoughts, Mr. Claudio. It was great to have you on.
Thank you, Julian.
Of course. Take care, y'all.